Can I see a show of hands if there's anyone out here who enjoys a good old-fashioned game of hide and seek? Yeah? Maybe back in the day you enjoyed a good old-fashioned game of hide and seek. I confess, I love hide and seek because it reminds me of simpler times when I was a little youngling. I have these vivid memories of, like, after school, like the cousins might come over or the neighbours would come over, or I'd go to the neighbour's place or at birthday parties or whatever it might be, playing these like really intense games of hide and seek. I do confess though, they probably weren't intense to anyone else but me. Because when it comes to competition and when it comes to hide and seek and games, like I'm the type of person that can't lose. Like I hate losing. And Mum will occasionally tell me of a story. I think it was back in primary school, at the start of primary school. And we might have been doing maths activities or something at school. And I lost the activity. And Mum was kind of like, Ben, what's going on? And my friend said the wisest thing ever. He said to Mum, Ben doesn't like to lose. And that just about sums it up. I don't like to lose. Especially when it comes to games of hide and seek. I'll go out of my way to make sure that I don't get found when I play hide and seek. And I'm not talking like, yeah, the spot's kind of good, but someone will find me eventually. The spots I'm talking about are so intense and so intricate that the bloodhounds won't be able to find me. The search party won't be able to find me. I'm talking hiding that is so extreme that it's like a zombie apocalypse and I'm hiding for my life. That's how intense the level of hiding is. Like my friend said, Ben doesn't like to lose. So I wonder if you've ever prayed, God, where are you? It's a pretty common prayer. I think for Christians and for non-Christians, it's probably one of the most prayed for things. Like, God, where are you? God, where are you in my life right now? Where are you in my friend's life? Where are you in my family member who's going through sickness? Where are you in the stress of my exams? God, where are you? A fundamental Sunday school lesson, and I remember Jeff, he's spoken about it many times, it's probably one of his favorites, is this idea that God is omnipresent. This idea that God is everywhere at once. He's not bounded by space or location. He's here in this room at the same time that he's across on the other side of the world. I think that's pretty fantastic. Jeremiah 23, verses 23 and 24 says, I am a God who is everywhere and not in one place only. No one can hide where I cannot see them. Do you not know that I'm everywhere in heaven and on earth? But then we also get this idea of God's manifest present. Manifest meaning clearly or visibly. It evolves from this idea that God is not only everywhere, but he is here and he is present. Through scripture, we can see that the triune God has made himself manifestly present. In Exodus 3, God the Father made himself present to Moses through the burning bush. In John 1:14, it says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. This is God the Son making himself manifestly present. And then in Acts 2, the day of Pentecost, we can see the Holy Spirit making itself manifestly present to the believers. The first Bible reading we had from Psalm 139, verses 7 to 10, beautifully reminds us that both on earth and in heaven, God is inescapable. Whilst he might not always be manifestly present, he is everywhere. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? There's a commentary from the Cambridge Bible for Schools and Colleges that says that the psalmist's question does not imply that he wishes to escape from God, but that escape would be impossible if he wished it. And so if Scripture can reassure us that God is anywhere and everywhere, then why do we still cry out, God, where are you? Can we find you, or are you a hidden God? I think for me personally, and it might be the case for a lot of you, that God's easiest to find when the environment aligns with our expectations of experiencing him. God is easiest to find when the environment aligns with our expectation of seeing him. And what do I mean by that? Well, let's look at Equip, for instance, or as Music Camp, as some of you may know it by. Does this environment align with an expectation of experiencing God? It's not a rhetorical question. Yes, it does. 100%, unequivocally. The environment at these types of camps, they foster a culture of community and of love and of fellowship and vulnerability and openness and spiritual growth. And the best part about it is that God's at the center of it all. So of course the environment at Equip or Music Camp aligns with an expectation of experiencing God. For you personally, where's an environment in your life where you expect to see God? Maybe it's at Bible study, or it could be at a conference. It could be having coffee with a spiritual mentor, or it could be at Golden Years, or it could be at Pulse, or shock horror, maybe it's even at church on a Sunday morning. Where is an environment in your life where you can say, God, I'm ready and expectant of seeing you? And why is this important? Because these environments help us to get filled up. This is when we can see the light of the glory of Christ most clearly, making the things of this world seem dim and worthless by comparison. This is when God is manifestly present, and it evolves from the idea that God is everywhere to God is here. Romans 8:11 reinforces the power of the Holy Spirit in these moments, saying, "And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you." When the environment is catered for Jesus, this is when it's easiest to experience him. This is when the Spirit becomes tangibly present to us. This is when we gain reassurance that God is alive and that he's working in us. And it provides reassurance that our cries of, God, where are you, are met with a response of, I'm in you. These crescendo moments of breakthrough and of revival and of revelation and of overwhelming joy at God's manifest presence. He's dwelling in us in a way that grabs the physical attention of our senses. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you?" I remember one of the first times that I experienced Christ in this kind of manifest way was the one and only Equip that I went to as a camper. And it was back when I was, 14 or something, back in the day, a little while ago. And it was amazing because it changed the way that I saw God. It went from this idea that, like, yeah, I know God's there, I know that he's everywhere, but he's kind of always like been up in the cloud somewhere loving me from a distance. But it changed to this idea that God is in me. And it was during that time at Equip that I could feel this like tangible presence of the Holy Spirit. And like it felt like God was like next to me with his arm around my shoulder. It was pretty good, I'm not going to lie. It was a personal and intimate feeling of God. And I'm sure for a lot of you, you might have something that's a bit similar, where you can tangibly feel God. See, at Equip, the environment aligned with my expectation of seeing him. The atmosphere and the music and the fellowship led to this idea of a spiritual high. And I think the youth call it a camp high or something. I'm not too sure at the moment. But it was a spiritual high. But the problem when there's a high is that there's also a low. So I'm studying economics at the moment. And I think that silence sums up everyone's thoughts towards economics. But one of the first theories that I learnt back in year 11 in economics was this idea of the business cycle. And the business cycle is this like graphical representation of where the economy is at the moment. So you'll see that sometimes the economy will be on the up. So things are looking pretty good. Most people have jobs, productivity's high, businesses are going all right. It's looking good. And sometimes these upturns might lead to a peak where everyone is in a job, where businesses are booming and unemployment is at its lowest. But you see, in economics, it can't stay at that peak forever. And eventually, there are some things that bring it down. And during that downturn, some people might start losing jobs. Businesses might start to struggle and they might have to close down. Productivity isn't as high as it was before. And on these downturns, if it's bad enough, it can lead to a recession or a depression where everyone is out of a job, where everything is looking dire and it's looking grim. And I think we can look at the life of a Christian in really similar regards. It's these periods of highs and lows, of ups and downs. Sometimes we might have these peak experiences, like at Equip, or like when we're having coffee with a spiritual mentor, when we feel like we're on fire for Christ. Sometimes we might feel content with our walk with Christ. We're not at that peak, but maybe we're on our way up. He doesn't feel distant, but you're not quite where you think you should be. But the problem is, when we reach that peak, we can't stay there forever. We can't stay at Equip forever. As much as we would like to, we can't stay there forever because we have to go back to our life. We go back to work or back to home where habits and where sin and routine get in the way. And this starts to blur our view of God. Where we saw him really visibly before, where he was manifest to us, it's not the case anymore. It's during this downturn where we lose sight of God. Scripture reminds us that he's still omnipresent. He's still everywhere, but he might not be manifestly present to us. But you see, that's not God's fault, is it? That's our fault. Because we convince ourselves that the environment that we go back to, whether it be at home or at work or at school, whatever it might be, we convince ourselves that that environment isn't where God is. Can you say that when you go to work, you expect to experience God? Or when you go to school, you expect to see God? If you go to a party or to sport or to dinner with friends, do you expect to see God there? If we're being honest with ourselves, the answer is probably no. So like I was mentioning before, I hate to lose, especially when it comes to hide and seek. Amongst other reasons, I think this is maybe why I'm not ready to be a parent. Because parents, when you play hide and seek with a child, what is the aim of the game? Is the aim of the game to remain hidden forever? A bit of a mixed response, but if you're a good parent, the aim of hide and seek is to let the child find you. The aim of the game is not for you to win. See, when you play with a child, they start off with excitement and with joy and anticipation of what's to come. But the longer the game goes where that child doesn't find you, joy turns into worry. Excitement turns into confusion. Anticipation turns into fear. And you begin to hear cries from that child, "Where are you?" And as children of God, our Father in heaven wants to be found by us. Isaiah 45:15 says, "Truly you are a God who has been hiding himself, the God and Savior of Israel." See, even Isaiah, this prophet who had these wonderful encounters with God, says that God is a God who hides himself. But see, unlike the intense games of hide and seek that I will play, putting in all the effort to ensure that I don't get found, God says that when you play hide and seek with him, you will find him. The verse we read before, Jeremiah 29 verse 13 says, "You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart." Verse 14 goes on to say, "And I will be found by you, declares the Lord." I love Junior Soldier Renewal Sunday because we see young people that accept Christ into their life and they want to follow this life that is holy and that is resembling the life that Christ lived. And for you personally, if you've made the step to give your life to God, in return, he hands you an invitation to play hide and seek with him. If you have accepted Christ into your life, he hands you an invitation to play hide and seek with him. Maybe you've accepted the invitation and every day you're working to try and find where God is hiding. But maybe you've got that invitation and it's been sitting on your bedside table collecting dust for I don't know how many years. You still have that invitation, but maybe you haven't accepted it yet. And if you haven't accepted Jesus into your life, then do it. Because your life is just going to be so much better. But when you get handed that invitation to play hide and seek with him, the game doesn't stop. The game keeps going, even when you find yourself in an environment that doesn't align with your expectation of experiencing God. See, when we're in those environments, the game keeps going, but too often we just stop looking for him. This is a divine game of hide and seek, and we're playing with a God who is everywhere and who is waiting to be found. He might be easier to find in those peak moments where everything is bringing Jesus to the center, but how much more rewarding would the feeling be when we find Jesus somewhere where we don't expect him to be? How much more rewarding would that be? Last year, I volunteered for Red Frogs. And if you don't know what Red Frogs is, basically they clean up vomit, they make food, they clean apartments, they do all the dirty stuff that happens up on the Gold Coast during Schoolies Week. And it was this really bizarre experience for me. Because everything is telling you that that environment up on the Gold Coast isn't where God is. That the Gold Coast becomes the devil's playground for 2 weeks as young people overdose, as they make bad decisions, as they do stuff that just is not healthy. But during that week that I volunteered at Red Frogs, I don't think I've ever seen God more evident in my life. It wasn't an environment where I expected him to be, but through that game of hide and seek, there he was. During that week, I had more chats about God than I had done so probably in the rest of my life. You see, the environment was artificial and it was dangerous and it didn't align with my expectation of seeing God. But there he was. And so my challenge to you is to remind you of that invitation that you have to play hide and seek with God. But when you accept that invitation, you're not just going to play when the environment aligns with your expectations of seeing him. You're going to play daily, trying to find God in your routine, trying to find God in places where previously you've convinced yourself that he's not there. Because how often is the case that when the environment doesn't align with our expectation of seeing God, that's when we actually need him most? Like, you look at Schoolies, for instance. It is this dangerous place for young people, and we don't expect God to be there, but that's where he's needed most, isn't it? When you walk daily with God, searching for him in your routine, it means that the fall after that high that you have isn't going to be as far. Because your faith foundation isn't based around your peak experiences with Christ where he's manifestly present, but your faith foundation becomes based around your daily walk with Christ. So, why don't you accept the invitation and try and find God in your everyday? I really wish that I could tell you what that looks like for you, where God was hiding in your everyday. But it's not my game to play. It's not my game to tell you. It's not my responsibility to tell you where to find God. Maybe I can point to where I found him in the past and that might help you to see God. But it's your game to play. In the highs and in the lows, God is waiting to be found. So go and search for him. You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. And I will be found by you, declares the Lord. We're going to go into a response time. And the song that we're going to sing is called Highs and Lows. You might have heard it before, you might not have. But I'd encourage you in this time, just to try and think. Maybe you need to accept that invitation. Maybe that invitation is sitting on your bedside table and it's been collecting dust for years. Maybe it's time that you open up that envelope and accept that invitation and start your search for Christ in the everyday. Maybe you have already accepted the invitation and you just need reassurance that God is there and he's waiting to be found. But if you haven't accepted Christ into your life, then I would encourage you to do so. Because you get the chance to play hide and seek with a God who is everywhere and who wants to be found by you. So as we go into this moment of response. I just pray that you would have open hearts to hear what God is saying to you in this moment. For the junior soldiers, for the young people that did their renewal today, how good is that? That they have accepted Jesus and they're willing to walk in the everyday to try and find him. And for the rest of us, maybe we need to have a bit of a renewal. So Jane's going to lead us in this moment, this song, Highs and Lows, and just let it be a moment of reflection.